he kind of became really frustrated actually after that call, because that just made him realize that he didn't really have what it took, at least with Google Ads, to continue running that seven-figure business. And obviously, he wanted a change of things. He wanted more profits and he wanted more stability. So after that call, we kind of decided to work together, see how things go. And that's basically when we started on in the early months of October.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Little Data, the e-commerce data platform for modern direct-to-consumer brands. Little Data has been bringing server-side tracking to Shopify stores since 2017, and their focus has always been on helping brands to get accurate data automatically. Stores like Rothy's and Athletic Brewing use Little Data to capture first-party data and send it to the tools they already use, like Google Analytics, Segment, and Facebook Ads, plus connected data warehouses and reporting dashboards. The first thing merchants notice after installing Little Data is their Google Analytics data is now accurate and 100% complete, from marketing channels through to one-off orders and repeat purchases. Their e-commerce data platform hums in the background of your store, sending waves of information like events, purchases, subscriptions, lifetime value, and more, so you can make data-driven decisions with data that you can 100% completely trust. It's honestly a breath of fresh air for brands who have been working with bad data and confusing analytics, or trying to build segments and lookalike audiences without having the right data to power them. Now, Little Data is a no-code solution, and they now have a 30-day free trial on all of their plans. They also offer free data consultations with their analytics experts. So make sure you check them out today at littledata.io. Well, hey there. My name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Merchant Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome back to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a weekly subscriber, I seriously appreciate the fact that you're taking time and listening to the show today. I know there's plenty of podcast choices out there in Shopify and e-commerce and direct-to-consumer marketing, and just the fact that you're here today means the world to me, and I know it does for my featured guest. If this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show. We have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you likely are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. I also highly recommend to get the full value of today's episode that you click through from your podcast app to the show notes. It'll be at ecommercefastlane.com, and there you'll get the full show transcript, links, and then all the resources that we mentioned today. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Sri, who's the CEO and co-founder of a company called Euro Marketing. And what they are is a Google Ads marketing agency, and they help e-commerce brands that are currently doing around 30K or more per month. And they help them to scale consistently and steadily with pay-per-click through Google. I know a lot of people have, unfortunately, are putting a lot of their eggs in the kind of Facebook Meta kind of basket through Instagram and Facebook. And I think there's some challenges of maybe only having that as your acquisition strategy. And Google is definitely a channel that I think is not on a lot of people's radar when it very well should be. And I think Sri's going to open up your mind today about kind of what is available and kind of his journey with his current brand, and then what happened with Facebook and what he decided to pivot onto with Google and kind of where that's headed. So hi, Sri. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm really happy to be here.
So I know we've been adjusting our calendars a bit along the way, and it's so interesting, work from home and all this craziness that goes on in the world, but I'm glad we synced, and I'm excited to unpack Google Ads because it is definitely not on any of my brand's radar. Now, they may be dabbling in it, but it doesn't seem to be top of mind. I'm not thinking about what the latest strategies are, and so that's why I wanted to have you on today. So let's talk a little bit about Euro Marketing, because I'm fascinated that you really have decided to put your flag in the sand with Google Ads specifically. And so let's talk about some of the problems that your agency is solving for Shopify direct-to-consumer brands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So great question. On a very high level, Yoru Marketing is basically an e-commerce PPC agency that not only does a full Google Ads management for e-commerce brands, basically looking to achieve, you know, kind of stability and an omnipresence level, because they're maybe only on Facebook, maybe they're only using TikTok, whatever the case may be. But Yoru Marketing also helps establish brand authority throughout the internet, because, you know, the first thing consumer does is go on Google to type buy this or buy that. Normally, people aren't going on Facebook to buy stuff. They're going on Facebook to look at their friends' photos, their family's photos, etc. So what we focus on is not only Google Ads, but Bing Ads as well, because Bing Ads, a lot of people don't know, is basically an extension of Google. It's like the same platform with literally the same business manager and everything. And we also do Facebook ads retargeting. But basically, the way that we help brands stand out is in a world where about 90%, even more probably, of the brands just rely on Facebook, our agency is helping these brands establish their presence throughout the internet, like I mentioned, so on different platforms.
Lovely. All right. I want to hear about the origin story, because it's fascinating to me why people either choose to build what they build, or in your case, why they decide to have kind of a done-for-you kind of agency model. So are you able to talk a little bit about like how the founding team came together, where the desire and this expertise come from to want to create your agency?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So this story kind of goes back a few years, back in about 2018, 2019. When I was running a fashion e-commerce brand, just with Facebook ads alone. I was running a little bit of Google ads, but at that time, I had zero clue of what Google was, because during that time, all YouTube videos were about Facebook, how to do this with Facebook, how to do that with Facebook. When I tried to search for Google, I barely saw any videos. So this naturally just led me down the Facebook rabbit hole, which a lot of people still are in today. And about 100% of my brand was running through Facebook ads. I wasn't making money, but it would be very unstable. It is right now. So a lot of instability. One month I would be making a lot of profits. Next month I would be losing half that profit. So it was kind of this roller coaster ride with Facebook ads. And one unfortunate day, I still remember, in about October of around 2019, I got that very horrible message from Facebook, which said, your ad account has been suspended. And during that time, I literally had nothing going on besides my brand. I didn't have any other advertising platforms, like I mentioned. So basically, you know, I was kind of scrambling around trying to get things figured out. That entire month, I just spent trying to get my account back. I got it back. I ran ads a few days. I got it suspended again. And it was kind of a back and forth with Facebook. And after a while, about a month or two later, I realized it was not a good idea to continue using Facebook ads. So this exactly was what led me to using Google Ads, because I had no other choice. I had to pivot. So that brand was suspended on Facebook. I tried running Google Ads for that. It didn't really work out that much, because it was a full-on fashion e-commerce brand. And with Google, sometimes it is a bit of a difficult situation to make things like fashion work, simply because there's too many choices for people. Like if, for example, somebody searches up the keyword shirts, there's a million different shirts somebody can buy. And as a result, it just kind of ends up spending your money significantly, which you don't want. So that's kind of what I learned about Google during that time. So I had no choice but to move on to another store. So I started fresh with a brand new store and started running Google Ads. And 2 years later, right now, basically 2021, 2022, I decided that it was kind of time to increase what I knew about Google and increase the awareness people had about Google. So on my YouTube channel, I went heavily into Google Ads. That's all I literally started doing. I completely cut out Facebook. And the origin of Yoru Marketing, which I'm getting to now, is kind of funny, because I thought about starting Yoru Marketing while on a plane ride, while I was just looking at the clouds outside my window. It just kind of popped in my head, like, why not just, you know, start my own agency, because I have so much knowledge with Google Ads now, because I spent literally over six figures testing stuff out with Google and figuring stuff out, because there's, again, not much information out there about Google, at least during that time. So that's kind of what got me into Yoru Marketing, and here we are today.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're an actual practitioner and kind of have done the work. And I know you're currently a practitioner, so you still own this new brand. It's still kind of run even to this day. And so you're able to do your own kind of live experiments with your own money, and are proving the fact that, you know, what you're teaching and the done-for-you services that you have, you're actually doing it for your own brand.
Right, exactly.
Oh, so I love that. I just wonder about the differences, though, between Facebook ads and Google ads as far as maybe like the results or the reach or the consistency. I'm sure you must have an opinion because you were heavily into Facebook ads, made this big pivot, you know, forced pivot to a certain degree just because of all these closures that kept happening. And so just maybe you can kind of share with our audience today about kind of what you're seeing on the ground today about overall the results and consistency between the two.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I like to think of this in two different ways. First, with Facebook, I like to think of it more as the short term, maybe midterm success level, whereas with Google, it's more of the longer term. So what that means is if you are looking for quicker money, and this is, by the way, true based on my own experience, you want to scale from $0 to maybe $1,000 a day to $10,000 a day in Facebook within 1 to 2 weeks. If you have everything right, if you have the right product, all of that stuff, you can do that 100%. With Google, if you try to scale to $10,000 a day in 2 weeks, you're going to end up basically wasting a lot of money. And that's simply because Google is a search-based platform. People come to you with Google. You don't go out searching for people on Google Ads. They need to go on Google. They need to type buy this or buy that. And then they will see your ad and then they will decide if they want to shop with you or not. Because of this, in my own personal experience, I've noticed Google does take a little bit of a longer time to basically establish, maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But once everything is established, there's a lot more consistency, a lot more profitability over the long term. Whereas with Facebook, you can have one winning product maybe run well for 1 month, 2 months, maybe 3 months, if you're lucky, if it's a really good winning product. But what happens on the fourth month? Everything starts to go back down. You start to lose money again. So now you're scrambling for another winning product. And constantly, it's this chase after winning product every time with Facebook. But with Google, at one given time, you could be running 100 or thousands of different products in one campaign. That's at least the strategy I use for my e-commerce clients, as well as my own brands. And it's just like a funnel. Basically, you just funnel in new products into the Google Ads campaign. It gets tested, but in the meantime, you're still adding new products. So it's like new products coming in and then losing products going out of the campaign. But then by that time, they're leaving that campaign. You already have a bunch of new products you're adding in. So essentially what I'm trying to get to is Google Ads is much more ideal for those people who want a real, actual long-term business rather than those people who just, you know, enjoy those quick wins. They do enjoy just getting money fast, maybe a month, 2 months. They want to run that store, then close it, move on to the next brand, etc. In addition, I do think it's much easier to launch ads with Google Ads because it's as simple as setting up landing page, setting up the campaign. You don't need to worry about any kind of video ad copy, which is something, by the way, I really suck at. So all I did with Facebook when I was doing it was image ads because I didn't know how to make a good video ad. So you don't have to worry about any kinds of real ad copies, any video ads, image ads, all of that stuff. It's just have a good landing page, which you should have anyways. Have good products, and basically that's what you funnel into your campaign, and that's how things work.
Oh, I see. Okay. You know what's interesting? I can remember a while back talking with somebody who, you know, talked about how they come up with the keywords in Google Ads and just the amount of work and how large a campaign can actually be. Because I know there's, you know, there's, because I could see it being very easy to, you know, like you said, use the generic term of shirt or black shirt or crew neck shirt. And you're like, all of a sudden, wow, okay, wait a second. Am I learning how to make one myself? Is this like, you know, like, or am I looking to actually buy something? And it's, I can see the problem between Google and the Facebook side of it. But I also know that because Google, you know, being so large and being a kind of a search platform looking for information, maybe not necessarily wanting to buy. I just wonder, like, what the process is to go through to think about the keywords that are important that are targeted towards buyers. Is there any way you can kind of like just throw some secret sauce about it? Like, how big does this list of potential keywords need to be? And are there money words that are really important that can kind of go along with your particular products?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. So in reality, big keyword lists, they're more ideal for search campaigns with Google Ads. There are two major campaigns which we actually launch. The first campaign type, which I think about 95% of brands should use, are shopping campaigns. The second one, search campaigns, which, you know, involve those big keyword lists. So for any new brand or just a brand that's just starting out with Google Ads, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, achieving a lot of success with Facebook or anywhere else. you want to definitely launch shopping campaigns. But either regardless of which campaign type you launch, what matters is that you do keyword research, like you mentioned. But in terms of keyword research, there's completely two different strategies depending on which campaign type you decide to go with. Keeping it short, for a shopping campaign, you want to do keyword research and find those keywords which are more of the buying intent keyword. So for example, in my YouTube videos, I love throwing out the example of 3D printers because that's the easiest thing. So if I type in the keyword 3D printer on the keyword planner tool, I am obviously going to use the keyword 3D printer within my description and within my titles, because with shopping ads, you don't necessarily input any keyword within the ad itself or the campaign itself. You rather input these keywords on your product pages, so on your landing pages, so within the titles, descriptions, etc. So the keyword 3D printer would definitely go within my title and within my description, especially if it's heavily searched. And in my criteria, I like to make sure that whatever keywords I'm using have over 1,000 average monthly searches. That's one of the main criteria. Anything below that, I won't even bother putting in my description or my title. So 3D printer would be a great keyword on its own. But if it was a keyword like 3D printer Amazon, even though this is a buying intent keyword, because if somebody is typing in 3D printer Amazon, most likely they're trying to buy a 3D printer from Amazon. But they're trying to buy it from Amazon, not from you, an average, you know, seller. So it doesn't make sense to rank for that keyword. So you would not want to put that keyword within your description or your title. You don't necessarily make any changes on your campaign level. You rather make these changes on the product level or the landing page level, I mean. So this is kind of the real difference. And you just go through the keyword list, make sure every keyword you're using. And by the way, another criteria is no more than 20 keywords that you end up finding to input within your descriptions. So anything above 20 keywords, it just kind of becomes too much. And the reason for that is you want to be able to repeat every keyword a maximum of 3 times within your description. And these things that I'm mentioning, they go back to normal SEO practices. So SEO definitely helps with your Google Ads campaigns.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. You know, while you were speaking, I went over to Neil Patel's Uber Suggest tool, which I have access to, and I just typed in, he has a keyword visualization tool, and I typed the word 3D printer in there, and he breaks it down into some interesting things that I think might be important. I might put a screenshot for this in the show notes, but one of the comments that came up was under data, which is the first one is which 3D printer is best? Which 3D printer should I buy? Which 3D printer is right for me? And he has a lot of interesting questions, or how much is a 3D printer, or how do 3D printers work, or how much do 3D printers cost? And then they go into the who invented the 3D printer, who invented, and they go into all that, or can 3D printers do something, or when was it invented, or, you know, and so they go through a lot of very interesting things. I know you talked more about the specific kind of buying intent side of it, and then kind of like what sort of query volumes are available on that. It just show, I guess there's a lot of different strategies around trying to find the right buyer intent sort of keywords, because, you know, it can be costly at, you know, multiple dollars per click. I mean, you want to make sure they're a little further down the funnel as far as like intent to wanting to buy a 3D printer and why they should buy from you. So it's quite interesting that you brought that up.
Right, definitely. And with Neil Patel's keywords, which you are mentioning right now, those are definitely great keywords to have if you run a blog post on 3D printers. Because I like to classify these keywords as info questions, meaning these are just direct questions talking about how much does this cost or how does that work, etc. Those questions are better answered through a blog post. And at the end of the blog post, if you want to go to this level, that's when you can have a CTA, which then directs them to a real 3D printer. But in a normal landing page where your main goal is to get sales, when your main goal is to grow your e-commerce brand, it is definitely not ideal to just have those kinds of keywords within your descriptions, because all they will lead to is a bunch of people wanting to read more about 3D printers, wanting to understand more about 3D printers, and just kind of get a general idea of them, not really buying intent, like I mentioned.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're totally correct there, because one of the comments that he does make, I'm seeing it now, where it really is, here's the, based on your head term of 3D printer, you know, here's questions, here's prepositions, here's comparisons, 3D printer versus a scanner, this versus this, and he goes into related and other suggestions and stuff. So it is quite interesting, and you're absolutely correct on that. So the ad copy and the keywords selected in Google Ads has to be very, you know, little bit lower down the funnel, but buyer intent. On the other side of it, building a brand and awareness and trust and authority around, quote unquote, the 3D printer business, then having these sorts of words that Uber Suggests has brought up is very helpful for blog posts and, you know, in these content clusters for SEO. So pretty cool. So thanks for that clarity on that. I do want to ask a question about iOS and the updates that have happened, because I've had other partners on that maybe have personalization tools, or they have the known versus the unknown customer journey on their website, and everybody and brands I speak with, they're kind of ticked a bit about what's happening right now, where you have to opt in to be tracked and most people are not opting in. And so knowing that, you know, they find that it's more of a blended ROAS now because there's no attribution or limited attribution now. So I'm just curious on your end, like, what are you seeing as best practices now? Is these iOS, I guess I think it started 14.5. So after that update forward, has that impacted any of the Google Ads performance or any other, are there any best practices based on knowing that?
Yeah, great question. So fortunately, Google was able to learn from Facebook's mistakes without really having to kind of go through the same things Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg had to go through. So what that means is Google, once that happened with the iOS 14 update and everything, had to start implementing stricter policies in terms of how e-commerce brands run their ads and how the data is basically getting circulated and accepted. So to answer your first question, iOS update has definitely had a great impact on Google Ads, not specifically on the performance, because yes, there are more stricter policies when it comes to basically getting approved for the Merchant Center. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have, whoever has tried running Google Ads, who has maybe tried creating a Merchant Center in the recent times, has probably gotten it suspended one or two times at least. And that's simply because Google is becoming much more stricter in basically approving the right kind of e-commerce brand. They do not want to have anybody who, number one, is out to scam people. Number two, is basically out to just gather data in basically not good ways. So Google's policies are definitely stricter, and it is going to be a bit harder to start running your ads in the beginning because you do have to go through several verification processes. In fact, I just made a video on some of the Google Ads major updates on my YouTube channel. And one of the major updates that kind of comes to mind is where you have to kind of input your business information. And for all shopping ads listings, if you are verified and you do this verification, Google can now know your real business name and the overall general location of where your business is registered. So for example, United States. So if you don't do this, it said in the email I got at least in clear words that your ads will stop running. So obviously, Google is becoming more stricter in this sense. But the best practice is to just abide by Google's policies. It's really not hard to just kind of go through their policies, make sure your products aren't basically going against any of their policies. Maybe it's misrepresentation, maybe it's whatever other policy issue that you might be having. Just make sure to really read through the policy which your product, if they are going against, are abiding by, and understand these policies. It's important more than ever before that you understand them and you abide by them, because that's really the only way you're going to be able to run Google Ads during this time period.
Right. All right. That's cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was just more from my personal knowledge. And I guarantee there's lots of people listening today. They're just, you know, they want to get their feet wet in this, but they're just concerned about, like, what does it mean? They're already having these pains already with Facebook. So that's good. That's good to know. Follow the rules, understand the policies, and you should be good to go. I'm curious about your agency kind of as it relates maybe to others kind of in the Shopify world. I mean, you're not the only agency that, I mean, you do double down and really are focusing on the Google side of acquisition, but you know, there's other more general agencies that just do all marketing strategy in general, and maybe Google Ads is part of their service offering. So, but I'm curious to find out about how you have been kind of intentional to differentiate yourselves from others in the ecosystem that are here to service Shopify brands, based on the fact that maybe others may claim to have a Google Ads component available as a marketing strategy, along with a lot larger portfolio of other tactics and things. So where you're more specific. So I'd just like to hear your story that's maybe unique to the marketplace.
Yeah, definitely. So in my own personal opinion, and because I have run my own e-commerce brand, I can kind of relate to this myself as well. I like to classify any agency for that matter, whether it's Google Ads, Facebook Ads, whatever the case may be. A real good agency works on two things. Number one, results. Number two, communication. Speaking about results, The main reason why my agency is much different than maybe another agency out in the market is because I run my own e-commerce brand. Basically, I've been there and done that because I've spent over six figures in the past 3 to 4 years alone just testing thing after thing. Because again, I had no basically YouTube videos or any resources to reach out to or to look at really during my time when I was really trying to understand Google Ads. So during this time, I spent a lot of my own money, tried to understand the platform as a whole. And I still do this to this day where I test any new strategy on my own e-commerce brand before I actually even test it on a client's e-commerce brand or anywhere else for that matter. So with my agency, there is no testing on your dime like a lot of agencies do out there. And all the strategies we test here are first, again, implemented and verified on my ad account or a team member's store before getting conducted anywhere else. So that kind of really makes the results portion really an easier way and an easier process because, again, the testing phase, it's cut in half. Moving on to communication. A lot of the agencies out there, they're really communicative while they're signing you up. They will talk to you maybe every few minutes. But once that's done, then the real thing sets in. And that's when you really get to understand who your agency is. A lot of these agencies, they have so many clients that they're working with, 50, 100, because they don't only do e-commerce. They do this, they do SaaS, they do info products, they do a bunch of things. They have thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of clients at a given time. So because of that, obviously they're not going to give you the personalized experience they want or you want rather, instead of just having communication once a week or once through email or something like that. So with my agency personally, because I only do e-commerce brands, that's all I focus on, e-commerce and Google Ads. There is consistent communication daily and also not through email, but through a special Slack channel, which we create where you, me, and a team member who handles the account with me is and where we communicate daily, basically. So we're always in the Slack channel and communication is one of the integral parts of your marketing.
Today's episode is brought to you by Little Data, the e-commerce data platform for modern direct-to-consumer brands. Little Data makes it easy to get accurate sales, marketing, and customer data in the tools you already use, like Google Analytics and the new GA4. But it doesn't stop there. They also power audience building and better retargeting with LTV data and subscription integrations like Recharge and Smarter. See how other brands are crushing it by using Little Data and get yourself a free trial 30 days by visiting littledata.io. I love the boutique model, to be quite honest with you, because you're right. You can tend to get lost in a shuffle a little bit. I totally agree with that. You know, and I hate to say it, but kind of the more you spend, the more important you become to the agency because, especially in the larger ones, because those are the ones that are, you know, can afford to have the fancier offices and kind of, and they charge the large retainers to kind of do what it is that they do versus really depends on who's listening today. There's all different maturities and complexities of brands that are listening into this episode today. But if you resonate with more, a little bit more hand-holding, more personalized boutique style services with a smaller list of clients, but very actionable and accountable, you know, as you mentioned, results oriented. I mean, that's a winning formula in my book. So, you know, kudos to you that that's kind of where you're headed. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to talk about a story now, because I think that's always interesting to me that those listening today, they could be in the early stages of their business. They could be in the mid-market. There's going to be lots that are listening in the enterprise side of the business too, on Shopify Plus, and they're doing their thing. And maybe they, you know, want to be motivated. It's like, hey, maybe we're not really executing as well as we should on Google Ads. And maybe your agency really is the place to go for them. And so I think if we hear a story first about maybe someone who wanted to, you know, diversify kind of their acquisition strategy. They found you somehow and decided to use your services. And I don't know if you, hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it'd be great to specifically understand kind of what motivated them from their, maybe their current process. They became a customer. And then what happened about improving efficiencies or driving more revenue through Google Ads?
Yeah, great question. So one specific e-commerce brand really comes into mind, and this is actually our first e-commerce brand which we ever handled Google Ads for, is automotive e-commerce brand called Full Send Diesel. And the main reason why this brand comes to mind, it's not just because it's the first brand we ever handled, but because they were achieving great levels of success with Facebook ads previously. So this brand had a very unique model of running Facebook ads. Unlike a lot of other e-commerce brands out there where they have one video ad or one image ad going to their landing page and the main goal is for the consumer to come in and purchase a product, this brand was actually running giveaways on Facebook ads, and they were running ads to these giveaways. So meaning this brand is an automotive e-commerce brand. They have a lot of car parts, car accessories, all of that good stuff. And in the giveaway, what they would do is they would basically say that any person who goes on their website, shops as much as possible, enters a special contest to win a free truck. And they ran ads via Facebook. They basically had a certain time period within the year where they would make a bunch of money just running ads this campaign, because number one, it was unique. And number two, they had a really cool offer going on. So because of that, things were really working well for this brand. They were doing over $1 million consistently just with Facebook ads alone. But now here comes the major issue. Because they were pumping so much money during this contest, oftentimes they would often go in a loss during this time period when the contest was going on. Later on down the line, once they had this customer list, they would kind of make it back through emails and all of that good stuff. But even then, the profit was not really where the owner of this company called Kevin Kubenik really wanted to be at. So in essence, what he wanted was more stability for Full Send Diesel, more consistency, and of course, more profit. So one day in the month of October, which is when we started this agency in October of 2021, he was looking on YouTube when he came across one of my Google Ads videos because he was having some issues. He was really getting super frustrated trying to figure out Google Ads, because before he started working with us, he was actually running his own campaigns. And later I came to find out that his conversion tracking codes were all messed up. His Google Analytics, by the way, was actually not even installed, even after doing over $1 million in sales. And number one important thing you want to have connected, at least, is proper Google Analytics installation, especially if you want to use Google Ads right now or maybe down the line. So he really had no idea because, again, he was more of a Facebook ads guy. That's all he really knew. He wasn't really the nitty-gritty technical stuff guy. So we got on a call. We basically identified all of these issues that were going on in the back end and exactly how not doing any of these things was costing him more money than actually getting any types of sales with Facebook ads or anything like that. So he kind of became really frustrated actually after that call, because that just made him realize that he didn't really have what it took, at least with Google Ads, to continue running that seven-figure business. And obviously, he wanted a change of things. He wanted more profits and he wanted more stability. So after that call, we kind of decided to work together, see how things go. And that's basically when we started on in the early months of October. And we worked through this initially through the technical nitty-gritty stuff, fixing up all these back-end issues, technical issues, merchant center issues. He had a lot of product disapprovals as well, because obviously he didn't read any of the Google's policies. So the titles were all messed up. They were going against Google's policies, all of that stuff. And all these things kind of accumulated and caused him not to get the results he wanted with Google Ads, despite running some campaigns. So this kind of account management stuff was the first things we do. And that's the main thing we always do, regardless of which account we take on. So we fix these things up. And once all of these things were done, it took about a week to 2 weeks, just because there were so many issues. With a team member of mine, I began strategizing around the account. During that time period, I decided to use a smart shopping campaign, which is basically another extension of standard shopping campaigns. And in 2022 and onwards, that's what I really recommend, by the way. But we started smart shopping campaigns despite the account not really having too much previous data. And smart shopping campaigns, I do recommend you have some data. But in this case, because his products, they range from $50 per sale to $2,000, $5,000, even $10,000 per sale, we decided it was better to just let Google do the heavy lifting for us, decide the bids, and just go the smart shopping route. So we kind of started that, let it run. The campaign started off very well. To my surprise, it was getting a 4x, 5x ROAS consistently. And within about 4 to 5 weeks, because again, Google is a time-based platform, it takes a bit of extra time to really get going. Within 4 to 5 weeks, 2 month, 3 month period, we were hitting a 20x ROAS with Google Ads, because again, this was during Q4, and not a lot of surprisingly automotive niche e-commerce brands out there that do Google Ads the right way. So within the first 2 months alone, the cumulative ROAS was about a 20.3x. And his break even was fairly high. It was above a 10x ROAS actually, but we were able to achieve two times that. So 20x ROAS just within 2 months. And that really makes this a memorable experience for us.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm sure the owner is like thrilled. While you were speaking, I actually went over to their website. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's very interesting, that strategy that they decided to implement by giving away a truck as part of like, so the giveaway. So one of their hooks is interesting, where they're physically giving away a truck every, looks like every 6 months or so. And then they're building this thing up with their own parts and things that they sell. And looks like they're on their third. Looks like they're on their third, and they show who the winner is. It's so interesting. So, and it looks like, you know, you buy something through their company, through Full Send Diesel, you're automatically entered into that draw, and they're physically giving away that product plus cash. So it's quite interesting that they're doing this.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's one of the more unique brands I've worked with to date.
Yeah, lovely. So what does the future look like for Euro Marketing? I'm just curious, you know, you obviously have really doubled down on this, and you have a wealth of knowledge in this area. It's very clear. That's why I had you on the show. I feel for myself, I'm merchant facing in Shopify, and I do, you know, try to help with marketing strategy and have a lot of skill sets in a lot of areas. And I know Google Shopping is an important part of it. And it's hard for myself as merchant success to actually get in the weeds physically, but I'm curious, it's kind of like, that's what you do, and that's what your expertise is, and you're a practitioner. Where do you see the future of your agency? Based on your current offerings today, where do you see yourself kind of progressing over the next 6 months and into next year?
Yeah, great question. So I'm a kind of a person who likes to stick to my roots. And the answer to this question goes back to my roots as well, which was the main reason why I started Euro Marketing. And that was to spread awareness about Google Ads, make e-commerce brands realize that Facebook ads, or, you know, whatever other advertising platform you're just stuck on, that's not the only answer to growth. Because I get it. I've been there myself. It's really hard to look elsewhere when you're finding a lot of success with Facebook, or you're just trying to turn the wheels, make something work with that singular platform. But in 2022 and onwards, it's really important for you to have an omnipresence, be everywhere, because the more you are in front of people, the more people are going to remember you, and the more people are going to trust you. So that's kind of directly related to the future of Euro Marketing. For 2022 and onwards, not only are we looking to partner up with more brands who share the same kind of vision as us, which is to be omnipresent, to build a long-term brand, but also for those people who want to have more profits, who want to enjoy more of their life as well. Because it's easy to just look at Facebook ads and just look at the revenue numbers, but it's much harder to kind of sit down and really understand if you're profitable at the end of the month or not. And that's one hard topic I always had to go through back when I was running Facebook ads. So for 2022 and onwards, again, we're consistently learning more about the new ways of running ads with Google Ads. For example, one of the newest things Google Ads is rolling out, and you can't do anything else besides this, is something called a Performance Max campaign. Standard shopping campaigns are soon to become extinct. So this is kind of another way for Google to introduce something smarter, something more laid back for those e-commerce brands who are doing a bunch of different things. So Google is trying to help you as much as possible, and that's the same goal for us, to partner up with these brands to understand how we can scale them further to make their life easier so they can focus on other things that matter. And basically, right now, we're testing as much as possible on our own e-commerce brands to become the best versions of ourselves, to become so knowledgeable with Google Ads that we are the go-to authority when it comes to Google Ads.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Natural choice. That's what you want to be. The natural choice when it comes to Google Ads. No, I do appreciate that. Sounds like you have a really great workflow. You know, just to kind of reiterate that again, just the fact that, you know, you really have two kind of value props and kind of what, you know, superpowers, I'd almost call them. The fact that you really are results oriented. At the end of the day, it's really about return on ad spend and trying to, and justifying your expertise, kind of executing campaigns for people. And number two is just your open communication style, smallish, more boutique style, but directly accessed through Slack and stuff. And I just really appreciate that. And nothing worse than working with an agency or someone in a black box or a vacuum. And that's not the case. You're a practitioner, you're available through Slack, and you get results. And I just massively appreciate that. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know that we had a chit chat just before recording, and I understand that you would like to share a little offer for those if they see value in wanting to, you know, diversify, have this more omnipresent kind of a style of marketing. And what sort of offer would you like to do, or how would you want to leave things today for our listeners?
Right, of course. So for all listeners of e-commerce Fastlane, whoever is running an e-commerce brand currently doing $30,000 or more per month in revenue, what we are offering is about 25% off for the first 2 months alone. So whatever the total cost ends up being, 25% off individually per month will be subtracted from the overall cost.
Okay, lovely. So that'll be, so what I'll do is I'll redirect ecommercefastlane.com/euromarketing, and that'll be in the show notes. It'll redirect to your landing page that you've so kind to create. And from there, you can fill in the details, get set up, have an onboarding call, and just kind of discuss the business. And it sounds like there's at the beginning of potential onboarding of the new brand, it's just, as you mentioned, is analytics set up correctly? Are all attribution things actually working? I bet you there's conversations about GA4 right now too versus Universal and thinking about what's happening there. So this is exciting. This is really cool. Thank you. I just really appreciate it. I'm so glad that we connected. I'm glad I saw you on YouTube and decided to DM you directly. And I'm glad we got this recorded today. It's clear that, you know, your flag's in the sand with Google Ads, and I appreciate that. And I wish you tremendous success in the future. And I hope that you can find some new customers as of this recording. They can really help them kind of, you know, get them to the next level and be more consistent kind of long-term growth strategy through Google Ads. So I do appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
Have yourself a great day.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.